be learning the Hakdama of the Manos Halevi. This is the Sefer Manos Halevi. I'm sure it's been reprinted since this. If you look at your Mar Makomos, you will see that I am definitely not in violation of any copyright infringement by photocopying these pages. This typeset was probably from hundreds of years ago. The Manos Halevi is a Sefer on the Megillah. On the cover of the Sefer, it actually says Manos Halevi Hanikra Gamkein Midrash Megillas Esther. It's also called Midrash Megillas Esther. The Manos Halevi was written by Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz. If you know the name of Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz, it's probably because you know that his name is spelled out, not the Alkevitz part, but Shlomo Halevi is spelled out in the first letters of each stanza of L'chadodi, exactly. He was the author of L'chadodi. He was a very great Mekubal, lived in Tzfat, and was a contemporary of many of the great Mekubal who lived in Tzfat. He was born in 1500, the year 1500, in the secular calendar, and he was not born in Tzfat, but he moved to Tzfat. There's a whole story of how or why he moved to Tzfat. They say that he was learning in the same Chevra with Rav Yosef Cairo when the Magid came to Rav Yosef Cairo, and the Magid is familiar with Rav Yosef Cairo and the Magid. He had Rav Yosef Cairo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, had a Chavrusa with a Malach, and he wrote a Sefer based on that Chavrusa called Magid Meisharim. So the first time the Magid appeared to Rav Yosef Cairo, apparently he told the Chevra that was learning together, it was on a Shavuos night, he told them to go to Eretz Yisrael because that's the only place where you're really going to be able to fully understand the complete depths of Torah, especially of Kabbalah. So he and along with the whole Chevra, went to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramak and the Arizal, and it was this kind of group of people that he was associated with. He writes at the very beginning of the Sefer Manos Halevi that Chibartiv Yisadtiv Afasisiv Anishlom Halevi Ben Alkevitz Lekavod Yikar Teferes Chosani Gevir V'Nasa L'Shem L'Tila Rodiv Tzedak V'Chesed Hanavon Harav Rabbeinu Yitzchak, who Kohen Lekel Elyon. He says that he wrote this sefer in honor of Rabbeinu Yitzchak, whose family he was marrying into. So apparently he married the daughter of Yitzchak HaKohen. He says that he's a Kohen Lekel Elyon, and Yitzchak HaKohen was a businessman, but someone who was a Moki Rabbanan, who respected Talmid Chacham a lot. So this sefer was in honor of his wedding. Some say he gave it as Shalach Manos to his father-in-law or to his future wife at the time that he was about to get married, but he doesn't seem to say that. He doesn't say that he was given a Shalach Manos. He uses it as an expression, as a play on words. He says, Manos Halevi Kedinu Kehuchsa Shtei Manos L'Adam Echad, that I'm giving these as two portions because there's so much Torah in here, L'Adam Echad, to one person, to my future father-in-law. But it doesn't seem that he really gave it as Shalach Manos, but that it was a gift that he gave to his father-in-law. So this sefer is probably his next most famous work, next to L'Chadodi. He arrived in Tzfat in around the year 1535, and he again attributed much of his Torah to the fact that he lived in Eretz Yisrael, to the fact that he was neshtatach al kivrei tzadikim. He would spend time davening by kivrei tzadikim a lot, and he was a very impactful person in the world of Kabbalah. So this is the Manos Halevi. Now, if you've ever heard the Manos Halevi quoted, you've probably heard it quoted in a shir about Mishloach Manos. There is this one line in the Sefer, toward the end of the Sefer, that the Achronim, for some reason, go wild about. They pick up on this line and they build a mountain out of a molehill, if you could say such a thing about the holy words of Rav Shlomo Alkevitz. But he has one line at the end of the Megillah where it talks about Mishloach Manos, where he writes, U'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, kimosha haya inyanam ki ish echad li'kol kol echad im chavero, Hafach ish tsarvo yev losharumia haomer am echad mufuzar. So he says that the idea of mishloach manos is the kahel kol echadim chavero, for everyone to stick together and gather together with his friends, for people to feel a sense of achdus, and that's the ultimate response to Haman's am echad mufuzar mufrad bein ha'amim, that Klal Yisrael is a nation that is scattered. And what did he mean by scattered? It meant that we're scattered from each other, that we don't get along with each other, that we lack achdus. So Purim and giving mishloach manos is all about recreating a sense of Achdus in Klal Yisrael. That one little line in this whole giant sefer is what the one line that the Achronim fixate on, and they say, wait a second, is that the purpose of Mishloach Manos, to create a sense of Achdus? The Trumas Hadeshen says otherwise. Trumas Hadeshen says the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to provide other people with a Su'udas Purim. That the purpose is not about Achdus and Reus, it's about practically giving someone something that they can eat for a Su'uda. And every rabbi has a shir where every rabbi is given the shir at one point in their careers where they go through the Machlokas, Trumas Hadeshen and Manos Halevi, with 14 nafkaminas between the Trumas Hadeshen and Manos Halevi, whether the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to provide a Su'uda, or whether it's to create a sense of achdus. What kind of foods do you give? Do you give su'uda foods or just foods that people like? Like if you give a box of chocolates, they can't be able to the su'uda, but who's not going to love you when you give them a box of, I don't know, Godiva or whatever, delicious chocolates, or you know, tons and tons of nafkaminas that you have in terms of this machlokas. As Rav Asher Weiss points out, if you were to tell Rav Shlomo Alkovitz that he has a machlokas with the Trumas Hadeshen about the halachas of Mishloach Manos, it would be news to him. He was not writing a sefer of halacha associated with the Megillah. There was nothing about that statement that was meant to be halacha lemaisa. He was giving an inyan, an idea, a concept that provides a little more meaning with Mishloach Manos, but it's very, very, very unlikely that he meant that it should have any halachic ramification because he decided that it relates to a sense of achdus. Much more likely, everyone agrees with the Trumas Hadeshen, but it makes for Leibedik discussion in the Achronim, so why not? So the Chasam Sofer already picks up on it, the Aruch Huner, and a lot of the major Achronim pick up on it and have a good time with this supposed Machlokas, even though Bepashtos, Chasam Sofer, as it also, even though Bepashtos, it's not really a Machlokas. So that's probably the line that is most famous in the entire Sefer. Manos Halevi is also known to have been very, and you read the Sefer, as I mentioned before, it's called Medrash Megillas Esther, very focused on Medrash, very focused on the concept of Midrashei Agada relating to Megillas Esther, that the story should not be understood on its surface level. That one, I remember when I was younger, when I was in high school, I don't remember why, there was some sort of Yarchei Kala. I was never involved in NCSY, but there was some sort of NCSY Yarchei Kala, some couple of day learning program that my friends were going on, so I went. And I remember one of the sessions, there was a rabbi who said, you know, it was right before Purim, so he said, let's learn Megillas Esther, but without any Chazal, without any Rishon, just let's see what the words of Megillas Esther tell us and see what kinds of lessons we can draw just from the words themselves, without looking at Chazal, without looking. So Rav Shlomo Alkovitz utterly rejects any such approach. He says Megillas Esther was not meant to be read as its own book. Megillas Esther was meant to be read with a Maseches Megillah and the Midrashim of Megillah next to it. It has to be read beyond the surface. The idea is basically, Rav Yosef Salant develops this in Bar Yosef. The idea is basically that they were writing the Sefer while they were still under the jurisdiction of Achashverosh. So they had to be very careful in the way they wrote the book. So they wrote the book leaving out all the good parts. I mean, making Achashverosh look a lot better than he really was, and leaving out a lot of the details that are very critical to the story. And they relied on Chazal to fill in those details. So to read the book minus Chazal is to really miss out on the whole point of the book. Meaning that's to read the portion of the book that they wanted the Goyim to see. But the portion of the book that they want us to see, that they want Klal Yisrael to learn from, takes a lot more. You can't just read the book without the Medrash. So that's the Medrash Manos Halevi. He tries to work out various Ma'amari Chazal. We will not get through this entire Hakdama today. Bez Hashem, maybe if we have a shir next week, we can get through part of it Next week I have to speak in a couple of places. I hope to make it back for Shir though. So maybe we'll get through the other part next week. I'm still not sure that I understand even the parts that we're going to learn this week, but we'll try our best to figure out what he's saying in this very lengthy hakdama to the Sefer Manos Halevi. So let's pick up on page Beis. You see on the second page in your packets, page Beis. So on page Beis, the Manos Halevi, we're just I underlined the key sections that I wanted to really focus on. So on page Beis, Amar Amchaber. Lo uchal lisapek bezula she'eroch lifnei kol ra'a pirushi zeh hakdama achas. He says, I can't hold back from giving a little bit of a hakdama to this perush on Megillas Esther. Bo odia kavanas ha-Megillah b'chlal. He says, and in this hakdama, I'm going to let you know what the goal of the Megillah is in general, what it's trying to teach us. Umamar Rabbeinu Zal Rabim Shabo b'mechilten de Megillah. And I also want to explain a lot of different Ma'amari Chazal that come up in Maseches Megillah. Vehem psichos ela Megillah. And they are psichos to the Megillah. They are entranceways to understanding the Megillah. They are the background to the Megillah. For example, the Gemara says a few times, Rabbi Ploni pasachla lahai parshasa mehacha, that this and this Tana, this and this Amora began darshaning the Megillah with the following drasha. And the Gemara has a list of 14 different Amoraim who opened up their teachings of the Megillah with different drashas. So the entire second half of the Akdama, from page Yud Gimel, I think it is, yeah, from page Yud Gimel over here and on, you'll see I numbered, or he actually numbered also, explanations of each of the 14 different psichos to the Megillah. Maybe we'll try to get that next week. But each of the 14 psichos of the Megillah and why each of those 14 Mamari Chazal are critical to understanding the Megillah. So that's going to be the second half of his Hakdama. The first half of his Hakdama is going to just explain what the purpose of the Megillah is. Uktsas Dinei HaMegillah Pnina Medrashos. And also to let you know a couple of the Dinei HaMegillah and some of the Medrashos of the Megillah. V'omer. So here's my Hakdama. Let's start at the beginning. Da, ki kavanas amalek v'haman aba achrav. The kavana of Amalek and Haman who came after him, and all of the Rishayim who tried to hurt us and impact us throughout the course of history, who are omer aleinu l'chaloseinu, galoi v'yadu al lifneihem, dveikus ha'uma azos klaleh uprateha be'elokeihem. They knew full well, the enemies of the Jewish people knew full well and continue to know how connected we are in a general way and in a specific way to our God. V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. We are connected to Hashem, our God. Again, I'm just reading the underlined sections. V'yadua. We know that Yishmael and Esav, although they are our enemies, but they have a little bit of a connection to Kedusha. Yishmael was from Zerah Avraham, Esav from Zerah Yitzchak. So while they are our enemies and they do not have Kedushas Yisrael, they do have some connection to Kedusha, Mipnei Avos HaKadoshim, because of the Avos HaKadoshim from who are their fathers. V'shivim parei achag la'osu l'mofes al zeh. And if you don't believe that the Umos Olam have some sort of connection to Kedusha, you just have to look at the Karbanos of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. We bring shivim parei achag, 70 parim throughout the course of Sukkos. Why? Keneged the shivim Umos Olam, the 70 nations of the world. Why do they need karbanos keneged them? Because they also relate to Kedusha in some way. And therefore they're constantly pushing to see if they could take our place as the chosen nation, if they could move us out of the way. Because we're all children of the same man. And we've done plenty of averos over the course of history. So they're always looking for their opportunity. They're always looking for their opening where they're going to be able to take over and knock us out of the way. On the bottom line now of page Beis, Vihine, Amalek, Shayar Rosh Tsarim, Amalek, who is the worst of our enemies, Yada ki im Yisrael ha'im mekablim es haTorah, knew full well that if Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, hinehim dvekim belokehem, that they're going to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo yiftzer mehem es asher yirtzu lasos, and then Amalek is never going to be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish if Klal Yisrael connects to the Torah. K'mamar charas al luchos Cherus Mishubin Malchios, that the Torah said Charus al Luchos, it's engraved on the Luchos. But Charus is Milashon Cherus, that when we keep what's written on the Luchos, we are free from Shibun Malchios. We are free from the rule of other nations. It's the connection to Torah that keeps us safe and protected from the plans of our enemies. Ulazehis Chakim. That's why Amalek was so eager before Kabbalah Satorah to try to stop it, to try to stop that train before we got there. And at the time where we were weak from Torah, because Shabbos and Dinim we were already commanded in Mara, and they right away wanted to take away the Isha Mitachas Baila, the wife from the husband, meaning the Torah from Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood this very well, and Moshe Rabbeinu stood in the Pirtza and was Shomer Ashar and was able to get us through that time and to get us to a point of Kabbalah HaTorah by helping us through the Melchemes Amalek by showing Koach and by asking the support from Yehoshua, who is Lo Yomush Mitocha Ol Yehoshua, who represents Torah. Let's just finish the paragraph and I'll take a question. V'inei Haman Kimokain, you know, skip down to toward the end of the paragraph. Haman Kimokain Chashav Machshav Al Salzeh V'nischakim Yoser Me'amalek V'asam Asher Ratzal Asos Bilam. Haman also came up with this similar type of plan to try to draw us away from Torah, and he wanted to bring to fruition what Bilam had planned so many years earlier. V'uki Ratzal Asos Bofen Shakal Yisbarach Yichos Im Yisrael. He wanted to create a situation where Hashem would get angry at Klal Yisrael because he knew that without that he has no chance. K'mo Shabba B'divrei Chazal B'medrash Rabasi Dach HaShverush Ba'atzas HaMishta Hazeh Ad Shelesibasa Nischai V'sonim Shel Yisrael Shabba Sadar Kliya K'mo Shnamer B'Megillah, that B'Gemara Megillah, that the idea was to set up the Seuda so that Klal Yisrael will be doing terrible things and Klal Yisrael will be deserving of being wiped out. And then Haman will have an opportunity to do something. But without Klal Yisrael doing Averos, without Klal Yisrael being Rafu Yudayim Midivrei Torah, without Klal Yisrael giving up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way, there was not going to be any chance for Haman, and Haman knew that full well. Yeah, question?
Yeah, is that why we were Kimu Mashkib Lukvar?
It's a new Kabbalah Satori, yeah, absolutely, that we need... that we need to show our dedication to Torah. That's what's going to enable us to defeat the Hamans of the world. It's only with a dedication to Torah. Yes, that's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Absolutely. So now he's going to spend a good deal of time explaining one little conversation that occurs in the Gemara in Megillah about why it is that Klal Yisrael deserved such a gzeira. I mentioned last night the gzeira against Klal Yisrael was very significant, even though nothing actually happened in the end. Meaning it's as great a Yeshua, it's a greater Yeshua for nothing to ever happen and for Hashem to save us before anything happens than for us to be hemorrhaging and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us. But the fact that there was a gzeira against Klal Yisrael is terrifying. Meaning there was a gzeira min hashamayim, the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that Haman has the right, Achashverosh has the right to destroy Klal Yisrael. And it was only our tefillos and our tainis and our listening to Mordechai and Esther that got rid of that gzeira. But otherwise the gzeira to destroy Klal Yisrael was out there. What did we do so bad that we deserve to be destroyed entirely? Okay, we've been punished throughout history. Even the Holocaust, I mean, we can't imagine anything as awful as the Holocaust. But there were still Jews alive at the end. There were still some. We were Nischaivu Oso Hadar Kliya. We were going to be wiped out, entirely wiped out. What could we have done so bad that we deserve to be wiped out entirely? So that is the subject of a conversation in the Gemara Megillah. He's going to ask 9 questions on the conversation and develop a mahalich in understanding that conversation.
It's kind of like a parallel between like Egel Azav, maybe? Because that was like God's outlook also after Egel Azav, was that he wanted to destroy...
To wipe us all out, okay. So what's the Tzad HaShaveh? What is it? What's the connection?
So the fact that we were so engulfed in something, great in something. The fact that we were so... It wasn't like... Because we worship the eagle, because it was logical in a sense to do it. It was logical in a sense, but the fact that we were so engulfed and enjoyed it so much, the Jews enjoyed it so
that
much.
Was the hana'ah, the hana'ah of the eagle, that we were dancing at the eagle. It wasn't just that we were doing the eagle. And the Achashverosh also, by the Suda, We were celebrating. We were enjoying it. Good. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Isa Hasam. The Gemara over there says in Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Beis. Shalu Talmidavis Rashbi. The Talmidim asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Good person to ask your questions to. Why was Klal Yisrael in that generation deserving of being wiped out entirely? Amar Lahem. So how does the Rebbe answer? Imru Atem. He says, you give me an answer, tells the Talmidim. So right away, that's a little bit odd. Why doesn't he answer the question? Why did he assume that they knew the answer? They were asking him, obviously, because they didn't know the answer. So he said, no, Imru Atem, you tell me. So a lot of times, just as Rebbe, you know, Talmud would ask the question, you know that he knows he would know the answer if he would think about it. But he just hasn't put enough thought. But these are holy Tanaim. I'm going to assume that they didn't think about it. So he says, Imru Atem, Amru Lo. So what do they respond? Mepnei Shenenu Misu'udaso Shalosa Rasha. Because they got Hana'a from the Su'uda of that Rasha of Achashverosh. Amru Lahem. So he says, nah, it can't be it. Imkein Shebeshushim Yahargu Shebekolon Kulu Al Yahargu. Who got Hana'a from the Su'uda of Achashverosh? Only the Jews in Shushan did. Not the Jews everywhere else. So only the Jews in Shushan should have gotten killed. Should have been part of the Gzera. Not the Jews everywhere else. Amru Lo, so the Talmidim said back, okay, Amorata, so why don't you tell us? You, Rebbe, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why don't you tell us what the real answer is? So Amar Lahem, he responds, Mibnei Sheshtachavu Litzelem, because they bowed down to Itzelem. Amru Lo, so the Talmidim said that, they did that, V'chimasu Panam Yesh B'davar. What is their favoritism? HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows to Klal Yisrael that after they bow to Itzelem, he's not going to just wipe them out? How could he have delayed that long? Meaning, when were they mishtachvet to the tzelem? In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, they were mishtachvet to the tzelem. So he waited till the days of Achashverosh to respond to the avera of being mishtachvet to the tzelem. Amar lahem, heim lo asu el lifnin. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai answered, yeah, but they were only mishtachvet to the tzelem on the surface level. They didn't really believe in the tzelem. They were just mishtachvet. So af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasim em el lifnin, v'hainu zichziv ki lo anu milibo ad kan. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't carry it out right away, nor did he actually end up actually killing them. So that's what Rashi says, that mishtachvet to the tzelem means during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Talmidim were bothered by that, because how could they have been saved then if they were Meshachvel Tzelem in the days of Nebuchadnezzar? So says Rav Shlomo Alkevitz, I have 9 questions on this conversation that takes place between the Talmidim and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Question number 1. I circled the Aleph Beit, you see what I circled? So question number 1, Aleph. Once they determined in their own minds that the reason that we deserve to be wiped out was the Su'uda, so why are they asking? If they already knew, if they already had in mind that it was because of the Su'uda, why are they asking the Rebbe the question? And if they were bothered by the fact that the Rebbe, what the Rebbe was also bothered, that if it was related to the Su'uda, then why was it a gzeira against the Jews of the whole world? Well then, when the Rebbe challenged them, why did they stick with that answer? Meaning if what was bothering them was the same thing that bothered Rav Shimon Bar Yochai about that answer, so they should not have even offered that answer. Why did they offer this answer? So that's question number 1. Question number 2. Omrim ne manis chayvu Yisrael Shabbos Adar V'yoser tov lomar b'yimei Haman Shabbos Adar. What a vague terminology to use. Why were the Yisrael Shabbos Adar chayv to be wiped out? Why don't you say, why was Klal Yisrael in the days of Haman chayv to be wiped out? What's Shabbos Hadar? Number 3. Mi higid the Rashbi of Shalom, Shehim Yadu Tshuva ad Shalom Imru Atem Shem Hayu Yadim Tshuva lo Yosholim. Who told Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that they knew an answer? Meaning they asked a question. If they knew the answer, obviously they wouldn't be asking the question. Obviously he thought that they knew an answer. Where did he get the idea that they knew any sort of answer? Number 4, that which he says, because Hishtachvu Litzelem, and Rashi says it was Litzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, Lafuke Shelo Yeh Litzelem Haman Shielo Bebigdo, meaning to say that it had nothing to do with the Tzelem of Haman that was on his beged, it was the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. So then, why is he so sure that it's not the Tzelem of Haman? Because if it was the Tzelem of Haman, then the same kasha he asked on them, he would have on himself, right? Who bowed to the Tzelem of Haman? Only those who lived in Haman's neighborhood. Who lived in Haman's neighborhood? The Jews of Shushan, not the Jews of anywhere else. So the same kasha he said about the Su'uda, oh, only the Jews of Shushan would have suffered, he would have had if it was the Tzelem of Haman. So, lama lo nifrmeim b'zman hachet v'himtin ad zman hachashverosh v'ein zem yimida sar chapayim. He says, the whole thing doesn't make sense then. It was because of what was done in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and Hashem waited that long till the days of Haman and Achashverosh. That's not Erech HaPayim. What's Erech HaPayim? We say one of the Midos HaRachim of Hashem is Erech HaPayim, that He waits to punish us. That's not what Erech HaPayim means. And he compares it to the Egel. He says, take the Egel, for instance. What was the great Erech HaPayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Egel? Is that instead of wiping us out all at one time, right then and there, what did He do? He got angry at us slowly. And over the course of history, He's been paying us back little by little. Every time a tzara happens to Klal Yisrael, in some way or another, it relates back to the Egel. So the Erech HaPayim is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll see you in 10 years from now, and then He comes back in 10 years from now, and then destroys us and wipes us off the face of this earth. That's not Midas HaRachum, that's not Erech HaPayim. What Erech HaPayim means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu slows down the process. Instead of wiping us all out, He says, okay, I'll give you a patch today, another patch tomorrow, so that we could still survive. So this isn't Erech HaPayim, that we bowed in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to come back in the days of Haman, and then you're all going to be gone. That's not Midas Erech HaPayim. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? Number five, Kushyos im kein shel Shushan yahargu niflesi be'inai. He says, the kasha that he asked, that only the Jews of Shushan should have gotten killed, is such a strange kasha. What was his suggestion instead? Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, no, it couldn't have been because of the Suda, because then only the Jews of Shushan were guilty of that. I'll tell you what it really was. What was it? It was because Hishtachvu L'Tzelem. Who bowed to the Tzelem? The Jews who were living in Nebuchadnezzar's neighborhood, meaning in Bavel. And everywhere else, they were not Hishtachvu L'Tzelem. So the same kasha he asked, how could you say it was because of the Suda? If it was the Suda, only the Jews who lived in Shushan would have been guilty. Well, that's the same kasha he should ask on himself. That the Jews bowed to the Tzelem, then only the Jews of Babel should have been held accountable. Not the whole world. So well, what kind of, how does his suggestion help? Kasha number six, he says, Kushyos v'chimas upanim yesh, koshi b'davar, kimokin me'atzad enemar, ki kushyizu nufles aleihem, Kamokein achrei shemasha nehenu, who etzlam avon plili atchin eschayvu alav klia, imkein masi panim yesh bedavar heichzach lunes, uma ha'ula al rucham bedavar zeh atchi yimashe koshis al rabim v'lalahem. It says like this. Rav Shimon Yochai asked, why did Klal Yisrael deserve to be utterly destroyed and wiped out? They held, these Talmidim held, for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason is, but they held that being Nene from the Suda v'Achashverosh was such a bad Avera, that it was an Avera that we deserved to be wiped off the face of this earth for. For whatever reason, they thought that's how bad this Avera was, right? Rav Shimon Yochai says the Avera was Mishtachvel Tzelem, and that was the Avera that was so bad we deserved to be wiped out for. So the Talmidim say to Rav Shimon Yochai, what? Mishtachvel Tzelem? That's so bad that Hashem never would have had Rachmanus. Well, if you hold, Talmidim, that having the Su'uda was an Avera that was so bad that we deserve to be wiped off the face of this earth, then you should ask the same kasha. How could Hashem have Rachmanus? I mean, whatever your answer is to the question of why we deserve to be wiped off the face of the earth, obviously you hold that that Avera is something really, really, really bad. So whatever, so you can't ask the kasha, oh, well then why did Hashem let us off the hook in the end? Because then you can ask the kasha whatever you suggested also. If it's bad enough to be deserve the gzeira, then it's bad enough that we should ask the kasha, why did Hashem take us off the hook? Kasha number seven. The whole kasha, mahusa kusha v'chima asupanim yesh v'davar omer ki ikur kushin lesa. V'chima asupanim yesh haterim neida kama kocha shal tzaka im tshuva shemakaras kal gzeiros kashos v'roz. He says, what kind of question is this? How can Hashem let us off the hook in the end? You know why Hashem lets us off the hook in the end? Because we do Averis all the time, and then we do tshuva. Yeah, tshuva is powerful. We believe in the kochah shel tshuva. What kind of question? How could Hashem, if you don't believe it, ask the Anshei Nineveh. He says, go ask the people of Nineveh. They had a gzeira, they were going to be wiped off the face of this earth. And then what happened? What we read about in Maftir Yonah every single Yom Kippur? They did tshuva. What kind of question? How could Hashem let us off in the end? How could Hashem show this favoritism to Klal Yisrael and let us off? We did tshuva. Tshuva is what does it. Sa'aka. We cry out to Hashem. Question number 8, he says, B'sheles masopanim, zeh koshi gadol atzum, v'loma lo yisalem panim, v'lo she'elu zukvar sh'alu amalchei ashores b'kolo v'hushav lehem, sh'keinu k'disa b'brachos, peregimu. He says, there's a Gemara, Mesechus Brachos, that asks a very similar question. Why Hashem shows favoritism to Klal Yisrael? Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Hashem lifts up his face toward you, which means he favors us. And the Malachi Ashar Yisrael asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you show favoritism to one nation over the others? Do you know the Gemara Brachos? What does Hashem respond? There is a pasuk in my Torah, V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta, that if you eat to the point where you're satiated, then you're chayev to bench. But my people, they do more than that. They go lefnim mishuras hadin, and they're makbid to bench ad kibetza, ad kizayis. They eat just a kibetza or a kizayis, and they bench anyway. So the Gemara already asked the question, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu show favoritism to Klal Yisrael? Hashem answered the question already. So why is this Gemara so bothered by it? And if you're going to say, no, well, this is avodah zarah, so this is worse. He says, yeah, but Jewish history is littered with sins of avodah zarah. If you read Navi, pretty much every melech of the Malchei Yisrael had significant amounts of avodah zarah. So, you know, and Hashem still let them survive. So don't tell me that this is worse than all that. Why is this worse than all that? And now finally, question number 9. Umei Abraisa zos nira shedas rashbi sha'avdu Yisrael avodah salilim bizman Nebuchadnezzar. He says, the Braisa over here, that Rashi says that when they did Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. But the Medrash, there's a Medrash that implies otherwise. Says over there that Al Das Rashbi Lo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Salilim B'Mei Nebuchadnezzar. That according to Rav Shmuel Mordechai, Klal Yisrael did not do Avodah Zarah during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. That what happened, says the Medrash, during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, was Hemet Salem, and he was Hifrush Mikalum of Uma Shlosha Shlosha. He took three representatives of each nation, and three representatives of Klal Yisrael were chosen as well. Who are those three representatives? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were the three representatives of Klal Yisrael. So you see clearly that according to Rav Shmuel Mordechai, Klal Yisrael didn't do Avodah Zarah during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So, which is it? Either it's two, so he says, either you say that it's two Tanaim arguing about what Rav Shmuel Mordechai really held, or Rav Shmuel Mordechai changed his mind, but it's very strange. Rav Shmuel Mordechai just changed his mind about what happened historically. So he says, Vanira Eli, what appears to me to be the approach to answer this question, these 9 questions is, and we'll have to go back and see if it actually answers all 9. I mean, it definitely does. I just don't know if I fully understand how it answers all 9. But he says, Ki talmidei harashbi hema ra'u dvar atzelem rav me'asu'uda ma'od l'schayev alav. They saw, they understood that tzelem was much worse than the su'uda, and the tzelem, bowing to an avodah zarah, is something that's much more worthy of being destroyed for than going to a nice meal. Kidvar avodah salilim rav v'atzum b'fanav yisparach. There's nothing worse to Hashem than betraying Him by doing avodah zarah. Va'amamar gedol avodah salilim shekal hakof b'kamod b'kal ha'tarah kula v'hirhura posel. Avodah Zarah is so bad that if you're kofar in Avodah Zarah, then it's as if you're moda in Kol HaTorah Kula. And if you're moda in Avodah Zarah, it's like you're kofar in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's the exact opposite of Torah. Not only that, even hirhur Avodah Zarah passels a person. So therefore, they couldn't believe that it was just the su'uda. In their mind, they were thinking it had to have been based on the tzelem. But their problem in their minds with how it could have been the Avodah Zarah was that, why did Hashem wait all these years? That was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Why is Hashem only punishing them? Ba'oso Hadar. Why is He only punishing them in the days of Haman? That's the Lashon Ba'oso Hadar. The question was, why was Klal Yisrael, it doesn't say B'yimei Haman, Chayiv. Why would Klal Yisrael ba'oso hador? Meaning, I know what you're thinking, says Rashbi to his Talmidim. You're thinking it was the Tzelem. You're thinking it was that they that they bowed to the tzelem. Yeah, but then why was it ba'oso hadar? Why did it wait? Why did it take that long? Gam devar asuda kasha. So they had in mind, okay, maybe it was the suda that did it, but that was difficult also. He says, because of a su'uda, they're going to be chayv to be wiped out. That also didn't make so much sense to them. So with both possibilities in mind, the Talmidim, that's the background to the conversation. Before the Talmidim asked the question, they already had both possibilities in mind. They did work out the shayla. They were clearing the shayla. They were trying to figure it out. And they had both possibilities in mind, but they had a kasha on each possibility. It can't be because of the tzelem, because then why did it take so long to have a gzeira against them? And it can't be because of the suda, because the suda is not so bad. It's not such a horrible avera to be nana from the suda. Why was Klal Yisrael in that generation deserving of being wiped out? And that's why they use the terminology to show that don't tell me it's because of the tzelem, because look, it happened in this generation, not the generation of Nebuchadnezzar. Also, when they said to be wiped out entirely, why did they use that expression, to be wiped out entirely? They didn't ask, why was there a gzeira against the Jewish people? Because the su'uda, nena misu'uda shalos ha'rasha, would be a reason for a gzeira. They said, why was the gzeira to be wiped out entirely? That's not going to work if you say it was just nena from the su'uda. Because the su'uda is not that bad. It's not that bad that they should deserve to be wiped out entirely just as a result of the su'uda. That was their kasha. That's stage one of the conversation. When he realized what their kasha was, and he realized they weren't just stop asking, why did it happen? But they had two answers in mind, and they had rejected both answers in their own mind. So what did he say? He says, I know what you're doing. You're not just asking as ignorant people who don't know anything. You're asking with not, you know, there's a kasha and there's a kasha. Sometimes you ask and there's a lot behind it. You know, sometimes when you say, I don't understand, two people could say, I don't understand, and it means entirely different things. One person means says, I don't understand. He means that his brain is a total blank. There's absolutely nothing in his brain. So he doesn't understand because there is nothing there. He understands nothing. It's just the words are a bunch of bugs crawling on the page. He understands nothing. Then you have another person who hears what you're saying, has a kasha on it, can't really figure it out, is cheshbening, but this is against the Gemara there, it's against the Taisus there, and as a whole. So what comes out? I don't understand. But his not understanding is very different than the first not understanding. So Rav Shimon Chai picks up, Talmidim are saying, I don't understand. He's saying, no. Your I don't understand is a higher level I don't understand. You're obviously, you have two approaches in mind. And you just have issues with them. Imruatem, tell me what your issues are. Tell me what you think. Vehemamun, they say, al shenenu misudasu shlosa rasha. So they say, well, we think probably it's because of the suda. Vekivnu lahagdil oshmas vechatas hakala shereinen niras betchilas iun chata gedola kmo shekadam varmutchilim ne shenenu. Meaning, they were trying to say there must be something worse about that suuda that we're not getting. But our inclinations say it's about the su'udah, and the su'udah is worse than we think it is. That there must be something terrible about the su'udah. Etc. Meaning the point is that what was so terrible about the su'udah, no one forced them to go. They enjoyed it. They went. And they had fun. There was a free meal. Who doesn't get free coffee and gourmet glot? Who's not going to go and take some? Everyone's going to go if they're offering free. No one forced them. They decided to go on their own. That's what made it so bad. They chose to do this. That's why he uses the lashon, not that they partook of the suda of Achashverosh, that they ate at the suda of Achashverosh. Shenehenu misudaso shalosa rasha. What does nehenu mean? If someone forces you to eat, you don't enjoy it. But when you're choosing to eat, you enjoy it. The problem was in that they made the choice. And they're trying to say, and you know why else the suda was so bad? Because it was suda of Oso Russia. Kilo kivnul odiyenu shachashverosh Russia. This is not where it's telling us, oh, by the way, Achashverosh was a bad guy. We knew Achashverosh was a bad guy. The su'uda was a bad su'uda. Participating in this su'uda represented all that was wrong and all that was against the Jewish people. Why did Achashverosh throw the su'uda in the first place? Four possibilities in Chazal. The Gemara Megillah says that Achashverosh thought that Baal Sheitzar, when he fought, he was going to defeat Klal Yisrael. He counted the 70 years of Galus, and he said the 70 years of Galus are over, and Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't save them. There's not going to be another Beis HaMikdash. Fantastic! But Achashverosh realized Baal Sheitzar made a mistake in his counting, and he says, but I got the Cheshbon right, so I know that there's never going to be a Gula for Klal Yisrael. And he made a su'uda to celebrate that Klal Yisrael is never going to have a gula. And who went to celebrate with him? Klal Yisrael. That's what was so terrible. It was a su'uda of also Russia. It was a su'uda of Rishos. Not just that it happened to be the guy leading the su'uda was a Russia. It was a su'uda of Rishos. Or he made it because he was Yashav al Kisei. Kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. What a bizayon for Klal Yisrael to be participating. Or he found Mamon Sheganos Nebuchadnezzar. Or he found the moment of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever the horrible kavana was, it was some horrible kavana. Why were we participating in this? So maybe that's what they were saying. They were trying to say, it must be because of the su'uda, and the su'uda was so bad because it wasn't stama su'uda. It was a nehene, which means we chose to go, and it was su'uda shalosa rasha. It was a horrible su'uda. Ubehed yamrin b'gemar on the top of page Dalit, Tanya b'shimon lozer omer Yisrael shabichutz lo over the avodah zara him betara ketzad kuti shas a mishal b'no v'zimin es kol yudim asher be'ir afpli shochul v'shos mishalem v'shim mishalahem v'sham shalem omir aleim malaleim kasev kiluachul miziv chemesim. When a kuti makes a suda and invites a Jew to the suda, even if we're eating glatt kosher food and we have our own waiters serving our wine and serving our food, it's still as if we're eating miziv chemesim, as if we're eating from avodah zara. Because we're celebrating in their celebration. Participating in Su'udaso Shaloso Rasha is a celebration of whatever Achashverosh was celebrating. That was bad. So what's the kasha? So Rabbi Shimon Rechai responds to them when they say that it was because of the Su'uda. What does he ask? So Vehik Shalem, Im Kain, Shal Shushan Yahargu, then only the Jews of Shushan should have gotten killed. Vamr Lohu, so they say, Taka, good point. So why don't you say, give us a reason? So he answers back, Hishtach v'litzelem. Yeah?
I'm not so bucking in the story, but didn't Mordechai attend the Suda?
So let's get there and we'll see what the back and forth was about the Suda. And if so, what's...
See, Chuy was not an El, so maybe he was not an El, so...
And therefore?
Therefore, why is Mordechai the... I mean, I don't want to speak like, but we portray Mordechai as this huge tzaddik, right? But if the whole Indian of the Avera, why Gezera was created was because of an enemy Suda, and he was an enemy himself.
Okay, so let's see what the Suda represents. He's going to go further over here to go back and forth on this a little bit. So he says, let's see the rest of the conversation. So he says, Imkein shel Shushan Yahargu. So he says, there's a Gemara, and in order to understand what the rest of this conversation is, you need to know Gemara Masech Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, Parachelik, and Tafsadi Gimel tells us that when Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah came out of the Kivshan Eish, all the Umas HaOlam came and slapped the Rishay Yisrael al Paneihem. They went to the Rishayim of the Jewish people and said, Yesh Lachem Eloka Kazeh, V'atem Mishtachvim L'Tzelem. You have a God like this that's willing to save Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah from a Kivshan Eish, and you bring Mishtachvim L'Tzelem? You morons. What are you giving up for Itzelem? What are you giving? How could you? Miad Paschu Varmulcha Hashem Tzedakav Lana Bosh Sapanim. So the Rishayim said, Hashem is right. We are embarrassed. And it goes on with Darshan's Paschu Shir Shirim, Ela B'Tamar. Tamar refers to Klal Yisrael that is Levech Laviyam Shemayim. And of all of Klal Yisrael, all we had to represent us faithfully was Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. And Darshan's Paschu in Zechariah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ra'isi HaLaila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to turn the whole world into Laila, but came along Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah and saved Klal Yisrael, etc., etc., etc. So the main point of that Gemara is that Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah were the heroes. Everyone else was doing horrible things, and when they were saved, it caused everyone else to realize how bad it was to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Fine. So he says, we find that there were two groups when it came to be Mishtachvel Litzelem in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. There was Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, who were the Ovdei Hashem. that refused to bow. And then there were plenty of Jews that were more than happy to bow. And it was because of those Jews that Hashem wanted to turn the whole world into Laila and into Dam and all the horrible things that the Gemara says. He says, now let's go back to the Medrash we mentioned before. I mentioned before in the Medrash that the way Nebuchadnezzar worked it out was that he picked representatives of each nation. And those representatives were to bow to the Tzelem as the representatives of that nation. He didn't have to make every person in the world bow, just representatives of each nation. And the representatives of Klal Yisrael were Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. Right? So a lot of other members of Klal Yisrael were bowing. But says Shlomo Alkevitz, Me'ata kivin shishtach b'letzalim rabim min b'nei Yisrael, hinam chayavim kliya k'divrei ha'gemara. V'lchein b'ikei shekosh baruch l'afach z'cholom l'laylo l'udam, ela shekivin shistach b'chanani mishol v'azari shem k'neg k'aluma k'divrei medrash chazin z'yash v'daito. Why was it that Chanani mishol v'azari's refusal to bow saved Klal Yisrael? Because while it's true that most of Klal Yisrael was bowing, but they didn't represent Klal Yisrael. Who represented Klal Yisrael? Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. And their refusal to bow, therefore, caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to calm down and to save Klal Yisrael. So now, going back to our conversation in the Gemara, V'talmidei Rashbi, the Talmidim Rishim Reichai, V'rosim Divrei Rabim Sha'avdu, V'divra Tamchum Baruch Hanan, V'divra B'yochim Parachel, Shabikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'apach, Chizkalim Kulal L'lai L'udam, Hukshalem, V'chimasa Pan Yesh B'davar. He says, wait a second. Once they heard that Rav Shimon Yochai says that they were Ovid Avodah Zarah, and they knew the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when Klal Yisrael does Avodah Zarah, Hashem wants to wipe them all out, wants to wipe them off the face of this earth. So their kasha was, Chimas v'panim yesh b'davar? Is Hashem going to delay in the punishment? V'kashara ki lo amdo al daito, amar heim lo aso lefnim. When the Rebbe, Rav Shimon Yochai, realized that they didn't understand what it meant to be mishtachave, that it doesn't mean they did avodah zarah mamish. He said, no, they were just doing it lefnim. Piruo ki yesh bavon zeh lahakul lahachmir, ki lo libam halach acharei tzav v'heim muchrachim bo. They weren't into this with their hearts when they were mishtachave. It's only they were forced to do it. V'af gam zos hi avodah salilim, l'chein asher lo palu av lo belibam, herich lem ad asher asu avon acher b'ritzonam hapashut. Unbelievable. This is the crux of the whole Malach, he says. The Talmidei Rashbi say, if you say it's not the Suda, because then only the people in Shushan should have been punished, so why don't you tell us? So Rav Shimon Yochai says, because the Shachl Tzalem. If it's the Shachl Tzalem, why did Hashem wait so long? So says Rav Shimon Yochai back then, why did Hashem wait so long? Because when they were Shachl Tzalem, they weren't doing it from their own will. They didn't want to do it, they were being forced to do it, and they were Shachl Tzalem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had Erech HaPayim. He waited. Until what? They did Avodah Zarah, but it wasn't with their hearts. They weren't doing it with their hearts. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu wait for? The Suda. Why the Suda? That they actually wanted to do it, exactly. That's when they were doing it with their hearts. It's not one answer or the other. It's the two combined. You're right, the Suda in its own right may not have been enough to wipe them all out, to destroy Klal Yisrael. It may not have been enough. Certainly, only the people of Shushan should have been punished. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, representatives of Klal Yisrael as a whole, getting Hana'ah from that Su'uda is going to be mashlim, the Yishtach v'letzelem. Ki lo huchruchu alav, k'mo sh'nemar v'shir alashon him lo asu inyan avodah zarah l'chalibam rak lefnim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally was only a surface anger. So it turns out that the Ikar HaChet was the Tzelem. The Onesh was because of the Mishnah. The Avera was that they bowed to the Tzelem. The punishment was forthcoming because of the Mishnah. So he understood. He goes on to go into more detail to prove that it was this dual element of the Mishteh and the Tzelem from various midrashim. And he says this even fits with Rashi, that that the way the reason they didn't like his answer when he gave it was because they didn't understand his answer. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says it was because of the Tzelem, they said, "Oh yeah, then why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have such Arach HaPaim?" It's because they didn't understand. They didn't understand that the Tzelem meant that they were being forced into it, and that they didn't have it, and they weren't sincerely bowing to the Tzelem. And it was only at the time of the Seuda that they really got into it. But you see, it's a phenomenal yisod that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using his Midas Harachamim, and we see that we got away with one, that we sort of got away with something. So very often, not very often, but at least in this situation, we didn't really get away with it. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to use his Midas Racham and say, okay, they didn't mean it sincerely, they weren't trying for this, this wasn't what their Kavana was. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to see if we would ever slip and where we were strong, you know, if we were ever able to be Megala, if we were ever going to be Megala, that our Kavanos were in the wrong place. And once we were Megala, that our Kavanos were in the wrong place, Then it's not that we're being punished for what we did now. We're being punished for what we did years and years earlier. So that's his approach to this story. Okay, obviously he's got a lot more here. We'll stop here for today though.